Standard & Poor, they moved San Francisco's debt outlook, the outlook on San Francisco's ability to repay its debt, to negative. Yeah, from satisfactory to negative. This is not a good sign. Is this the doom loop continuing in San Francisco? Well, any which way you look at it, it sure doesn't help, does it? Let's get into it. What does this mean? Here we go. So back in July of 2023, San Francisco's sluggish recovery put its top grade credit rating at risk. Moody's back then, this is July of 2023, Moody's revived its rating outlook to negative from stable. Again, got another credit agency saying, the outlook on San Francisco, and this isn't just San Francisco, but San Francisco is kind of the poster child for its commercial real estate really getting hammered because all of the companies that once frequented the commercial real estate scene in San Francisco, I got everybody working from home remotely. You're going to work 3 days a week in the office. You're going to work a matrix of Mondays and Fridays off, you know, all that ridiculousness, right? All that ridiculousness. No longer do we need the incredible amounts of office space. And San Francisco was one of the worst hit as far as people moving out because it's so expensive to live there. And now companies are no longer replenishing that office space. In fact, you've got office vacancy in San Francisco approaching 40% is what some people are saying. 40%. So back July, when we're talking about this article, Mayor London Breed calls it a warning for the city. I think we podcasted on this. San Francisco's sluggish recovery from the pandemic may end up costing the city its pristine tier credit rating. Now, let's make this super clear. It's the outlook on their credit rating that we are talking about right now. That is the predecessor, too. That's the first step to, it's not looking so good. Something might change, to actually downgrading the credit of a city, which results in its costing more to borrow. It's going to cost way more to borrow. So what you've got going on, let's skip this article because we know what happened there and we know what's going on. But right now you've got yet another major, major credit agency saying, things aren't looking so good. Standard & Poor Global Ratings, that's the entity. They announced yesterday that it was changing its outlook on San Francisco debt from stable to negative. Yeah, that's a negative. That's not good. The outlook on the city county's outstanding general obligation and appropriation debt was cut to negative from stable this week by the ratings company. The weakness in the city's commercial real estate market and tourism activity were factors that drove the move, Standard & Poor said. Adding to the city's burden, San Francisco's budget expenditures outpaced revenue growth in fiscal 2023. So you've got not only massive, massive fall in real estate values in San Francisco. If you do here's a quick search I did for commercial building sold at big discount, San Francisco. ASB Real Estate to list San Francisco building at discount. San Francisco office building sells for 75% discount. San Francisco office building likely to trade at huge discount. Building sold at 60% discount. $300 million office building in San Francisco expected to sell for $60 million. Half off. Another San Francisco office trades for 50%. You've got, these are big storylines. I mean, these are just like, boom, there's another one. Boom, there's another one. All right, that building. And it's because San Francisco doesn't need the amount of office space that it has. Most big commercial downtown centers in America's cities do not need the space that they currently have. So everybody's trying to figure out, okay, do we convert this area to living space? Do we make it into a spaceship? You know, what do we do? Do we create more restaurants, get in more lively activity? Because there aren't enough people coming into the downtown and you've got these doom loop cycles going on. So without the buildings there, you don't have people living around there that want to work in the area. Therefore, all the little stores, little bodegas, if you're in New York City, those kind of things, those are failing as well. So The end result is that with all this office space not being utilized and values coming down, the tax base in a San Francisco type city is suffering immeasurably. Like all of a sudden, oh yeah, assessed values are coming down. Sales tax on real estate, revenue generated from that is way, way down. Because if you're selling a building at 60% discount relative to what you used to get for that building, well, that's indicative of what's going on in your marketplace. And your marketplace is suffering. That's the bottom line, right? To be clear, the ratings agency hasn't downgraded the city's actual credit rating, their actual ability to borrow money. But when, you know, that first shot across the bow is, the outlook is not great. The outlook, what we're looking at here, don't want to say shenanigans, don't want to go that far. But if you look at that $24 billion audit of the homeless situation in the state of California, yeah, that's shenanigans, right? That's some shenanigans there. But no, San Francisco's credit rating, the actual credit rating, is still at AAA. It's golden. You got a AAA credit rating. You can go out, borrow from whomever, and odds are, more than likely San Fran will pay you back. I mean, good odds. The highest possible AAA. A downgrade in the credit rating would increase the city's cost to borrow money, but that hasn't happened yet. The change in outlook is a sign that the agency believes the city is going to struggle in the near term. Now, you might say, well, that is a blinding glimpse of the obvious, right? Ross F. Johnson from way back in Barbarians at the Gate. Is it a blinding glimpse of the... Yes, it is. Because you can see San Francisco's revenue stream from their tax revenue. It's way, way down. And yet their expenses still keep going up. And so you've got this, you know, hundreds of millions of dollar deficit. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but we're going to get into it right now. San Francisco is projected to face a $245 million budget deficit in the coming fiscal year and a $555 million deficit in the following year. The shortfall could balloon to more than $1 billion by 2027 if expenditures continue to outpace revenue growth. So the only things that you can really cut in a city budget, you know, you can cut out the fluff, but then you start to get into police, start to get into fire, start to get into garbage service, infrastructure. Hey, how about that big pothole on the road? I don't have money in the budget to fix it. Hard no go. Nope, we're just letting that go. You know, we had to spend all the money on the illegal aliens coming in. That's what Denver's saying right now. Chicago. Oh, people in Chicago are wildly upset with their leadership. Because let's go Brandon Johnson. He's just, we need some more money for the illegals. We need some more money. Yeah, we need some more money. We need some more money over here. Meanwhile, the local residents in Chicago are like, what about us? Throw us a bone. Where's our money? Yeah, good question. Standard & Poor's said in a release that it believes the San Francisco's management will be challenged to make the cuts needed to restore it to budgetary balance during the outlook horizon. The outlook is concerning. I am concerned with the outlook we've got going on in San Francisco now, which that could lead to rating pressure if the city's general fund reserves decline precipitously. Now, you've got general funds in San Francisco that could get them, it's going to get them down the road a while. It's not like, you know, with this massive budget shortfall, they're going to declare bankruptcy yet anytime soon. But they do need to turn this bad boy around. And street conditions, as they are in San Francisco, doesn't look like that's happening anytime soon. And AI, artificial intelligence, being a huge pull into San Francisco for employment, it's gonna take some of the space down. But when you've got close to 40% of your office buildings in San Francisco vacant, not being utilized, you're going to need more than just one small industry to really come in and do some damage. The bottom line is the vast majority of companies that once used to, you know, call San Francisco home from a corporate standpoint, their employees can work damn near anywhere. Anywhere they got that laptop and they got that internet hookup, right? Go to that WeWork. Go to that WeWork with all the fun stuff. Standard & Poor's is not the first ratings agency to make this move. Moody's did the same thing. The outlook on the county's AAA credit rating was cut to negative from stable this week by Moody's Investment Service. That was July last year. The ratings company and prolonged weakness in the city's commercial real estate market and the stubbornly slow rebound of office workers were factors that drove the move. So you've got companies pushing for 4 days a week now in downtown, but that means that you're still currently, you've got 40% of your office space essentially not being used. And you can't really compare that to apples to oranges because you've got office space. It's just that on Mondays and Fridays, there's hardly anybody going to it, like in Amazon and Seattle. But, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, those are the big in-office days, right? And most companies that have 1 or 2 days, they're going to mandate those be like Tuesday or Wednesday so that folks can, you know, have that long weekend, work from home and do all that stuff that makes everybody happy. And this is what's driving down real estate in San Francisco. A big part of their problem is commercial real estate, which accounts for the majority of the city's tax revenue. Oh, yeah. So that's where all the money comes from to run the city, right? 60%, over half. And so you've got space that isn't being utilized. You have tenants not paying. So all the taxation that comes out of having an active downtown core, all those dollars are just flat not there. It's crickets, right? And then all the little supporting businesses aren't there either because there's nobody to make lunch for on Mondays. There's nobody to make lunch for on Fridays. There's, you know, the little mini marts and all that good stuff where people who were stuck working 9 to 5, you know, Monday through Friday, they had to get groceries. Maybe they don't want to stop on the way home. They're going to do it right in town. They're going to walk to from their building to a grocery store. They're not doing that anymore because they're at home now 4 days out of the week. You know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Something like that, right? So commercial is absolutely tanking the ability for San Francisco to pay its bills down the road. Real estate property taxes represent 60% of San Francisco's local tax revenue. It's according to Barclays, which says that revenues are expected to barely increase over the next 5 fiscal years. A 2022 report from the city's chief economist found that in a worst case scenario, San Francisco would lose $200 million in property tax revenue by 2028 because of remote workers. Okay, $200 million in property tax revenue by 2028. So that is a given, unless you've got a bunch of industry that just comes in and says, we got to have 30 million square feet of office space pronto. And that just doesn't happen. There's nobody out there who needs that much space, and there aren't enough companies. There's been some leases that have gone on, but the vast majority of activity has been big discounted sales of what were once very prestigious buildings. And those aren't a thing right now. You're going the opposite way. So this year, more than a third of the city's office buildings are vacant, which means owners are dumping projects that can no longer make sense, and buildings are selling at far lower values than they were pre-pandemic. Case in point, here's the case they're going to reference. A 16-story office tower just sold for 10% of its pre-pandemic price. So regularly, we are seeing office buildings being discounted 60, 70, 80, 90% in value. Some of that has to do with a lot of these were purchased prior to the pandemic, and there was very low vacancy at the time, not occupancy. Occupancy was super high. Everybody was paying their rent. And then we had the pandemic, and then everybody worked from home for a while, and all these businesses got accustomed to that. And then they recognized, we don't need all of this really expensive office space in San Francisco. We get rid of that. And also, we can draw in more folks if we allow them to work remotely from somewhere else. Maybe they commute into our downtown core a couple of days a week. But if they can live a lifestyle where they're leveraging their income and not have to live in the city, they're going to do that. And that's why I think the turnaround on San Francisco is difficult. It's not unlike New York City. It's not unlike downtown Seattle. It's Portland has had the riots really impact businesses coming back there. And city leadership in Portland, city leadership in New York City, city leadership in Chicago, it doesn't make people who are going to spend a ton of money on a long-term commercial lease, it doesn't make them think, everything's great here. Why wouldn't I sign a lease? Huge expense, right? Deeply discounted office towers have become the norm in San Francisco over the past year, but no recent deal has been as radical as the one that closed in the city's struggling mid-market neighborhood this month. An empty 16-story tower traded for just $6.5 million. The $72 per square foot price for the tower at 995 Market Street, which anchors the corner at 6th and Market Street, represents a 90% drop in value from where the buildings last sold in 2016 for roughly $62 million, a handful of years prior to the pandemic, when things were just absolutely going, right? So you've had these buildings which have been purchased at top numbers, premium numbers, and now they've been cored out, they've been emptied out because businesses don't need all that space anymore. So now you've got massive amounts of vacancy in the building, meaning its value starts to drop, and you've got an interest rate environment now which has gone way up. Residential rates were 2.75% to 3% during their heyday. Now we're well over 7%. We've had a bump up in rates because inflation, that transitory inflation is just, it's here. It's still here. What happened? We thought it would go away. Where isn't it going to? You put a few trillion dollars through the economy, maybe 10, I don't know, whatever it is. And guess what? That inflation, it's going to take a while to rid of itself of the system, right? So these big commercial building owners, they bought an interest rate here. Now they've got an interest rate here and they can't make the payment. So they got to refinance. So then they got to refinance maybe a 5-year term, 10-year term, whatever it is on the mortgage on their building. And they're looking at their decreased numbers because there's nobody renting their space. And then on top of that, the cost of the money that they're borrowing to do a refinance to switch out the debt is significantly higher, way higher. So they're getting caught in that squeeze, and that's how you get a 90% discount in San Francisco on some pretty epic real estate, or I should say, which was once very epic real estate. With office vacancy in San Francisco estimated at 36.6 4 years after the pandemic, there is no shortage of deals to be had in the city. One office broker told the Chronicle last year that almost every office property in the city is on sale. It's available. Because it's a hot potato right now, right? My theory is it will come back around. San Francisco has too much going for it. It's like Seattle. It's like Portland. They've each got individual problems as well. Downtown LA is its own animal. To me, downtown LA is too close to to Skid Row. Downtown San Francisco, where we're talking about here, where all the office buildings, that is to the north and east of the financial district, is to the north and east of the Tenderloin. Now, I talked with, it was a fellow baseball dad. You have those in your life. And my kids haven't played baseball for years and years and years. My youngest son would have played 2014, he graduated in 14. So we would have played in 2012. So it's been, a solid 12 years since I've been involved in baseball at any rate. But you've always got those dads that you know. It was a dad of a fellow baseball. And I think my youngest son, Brennan, dated his daughter. He goes down to San Francisco pretty often and for business. And I asked him, where do you stay? And he goes, I stay at the Wharf. Like, okay, so you're not anywhere near the Tenderloin then. He goes, oh no. I had to make a move. He had to take an Uber from the Wharf, the waterfront area, to somewhere else. And the the Uber driver took him through the Tenderloin. And he said the Uber driver, he got real nervous driving through that area. And he said he got nervous as well. But, you know, and Tenderloin is just, it's a crapshoot whether you're going to make it through there without being assaulted, right? So you have that in your marketplace as an additional factor. Hey, come rent a bunch of space. The Tenderloin's just down over there. It'll all work out just fine. When you've got that whole kind of thing going on, and you see a bunch of vacant spaces, and then you got Standard & Poor and Moody's, now, downgrading the outlook on debt for the city of San Francisco, it doesn't exactly piece together a picture of future tranquility and stable economic environment, does it? This is headed in one direction, and it's not up. Of course, far lower prices will eventually mean far lower rents. Yep. And then that will draw people into those spaces. Yep. You've got way too much for anybody to want to take on big segments right now. And so what's happening is that the stuff that's getting rented out is the super expensive stuff, and it's being discounted a little bit. But why would you rent junk if you can get a good deal on primo, a class A office space? You wouldn't, unless you're just getting a super steal on it and you need it for whatever, where you're not having a public facing, you know, you don't need the office space to make your company look cool. But property taxes are based on assessed value, and if sales demonstrate the value of downtown San Francisco is now half of what it was 5 years ago, that's going to mean a lot less revenue coming into the city. So you think some appraisers are pretty busy in San Francisco trying to help out the, you know, commercial buildings owners? Take just a little look-see at the value on their, the assessed value on their property, because guaranteed they are going through appeal after appeal after appeal. And it would be a matter of convincing the assessor's department, hey, value today, right now, has been absolutely crushed relative to the rolling cycle that most assessors go off of. So values drop, taxes drop to the city. So that is happening. So that's what Standard & Poor is looking at here. They're like, these are some pretty basic factors. Meanwhile, wages and costs are up thanks to inflation. Hey, that's great. That's awesome. It's hard to see where the city is going to be able to cut a $1 billion over the next 3 years without impacting critical services such as transportation, public safety, police, 911, fire, sanitation. Significant cuts to any of these could in turn make downtown less appealing. And pretty soon you're right back to talking about the doom loop, the doom loop. So in my opinion, you're going to have to move through all of this ridiculousness that you've got going on here, hold it together, and then get to a point down the road where you've got some more income coming in. Because at some point in time, you're going to go through all the money that's in the general fund that's supposed to be there for a rainy day. And, you know, how long is that going to be? Well, if you stretch out that deficit to $1 billion, yeah, that's a big number, isn't it? So this author goes on to say, and this is hot air, I'm on record saying I think San Francisco has too much going for it to ever be down and out permanently. And I agree with that. I agree with that. But you could be down and out for a while. You could be down and out for a cycle of commercial real estate, whatever that means anymore, right? Like, everything goes in 7-year cycles. Really? It will eventually recover, he goes on to say. The question is, how long will it take and how much pain will be experienced along the way? Right now, the immediate future is not looking very bright. It's not. It's not. And that's why you'd go as far as to downgrade the outlook on San Francisco's debt. Got a lot of bad stuff. Got a lot of bad stuff that you can point at and go unequivocally, hey, your property values are going to drop. And since that's tied to so much revenue in the city and your expenses are only going up, and it doesn't look like you guys are cutting back on the budget, the only thing that would really hose San Francisco is if they just all of a sudden went down that massive virtue signaling and, hey, you know, San Diego, send all of your illegals to us. We'll handle them. And then they go another couple hundred million in debt, and San Francisco's homeless population just gets really upset. What about us? How come about us? Where's our $24 billion? So all of this comes on the tails of San Francisco and state of California, basically not having all that much in the way of luck supporting how state of California spent $24 billion solving the homeless projects, solving homelessness in general, and just not really much happened. So they just keep spending those billions of dollars and we'll work it out on the tail end. Yeah, meanwhile, we got to downgrade the outlook on your credit. This isn't good. These are shenanigans waiting to happen. That's what the big entities are looking at San Francisco and thinking. And it's wildly accurate. There's no way around it. You just got the hardcore reality. Your expenses are going up and your rent income revenue has decreased. And look around. See all these buildings? It's hard evidence. Well, we're just going to scooch through this and we should be fine. All right. I'm not saying, San Francisco is absolutely out, but the doom loop does continue. This does continue the doom loop. It's not in the way of, all right, San Francisco is hosed, but it's like, that doesn't help things. It's all of that. Everything in real estate is all about impression, right? It's all about how does it look? How does it feel? Does that kitchen have a good feel to the wife? Because otherwise, you're not going to buy it. How does the appearance look? How does that house sit up on the hill? Well, all that appearance stuff for San Francisco right now, it's not going the right direction. So, means we got podcasts for days because this is not over. This is not even close to over. But some of the buildings being sold, those are your true indicators of, wow, this is a little bit of a correction here. We've got a little bit of a redo button being hit. And it'll be interesting to see how this goes, see how leadership. I don't think most leaders have the ability to make much in the way of changes other than to not implement massive expenditures. This might be one of those times where you try and cut things down just a scooch, so you can avoid the massive shenanigans on the other ends when, you've got, we got a $10 billion deficit now. I guess we should have started working on that earlier, right? All right. That's it for me on this one. Thanks so much for being here. Love to have you subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell. Hit the like button for this video. Don't forget to share this content with friends and family if you found it enjoyable, if it's helped you. Thanks so much. We'll catch up with you in the next one. Bye for now.